Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob. This is part 16 of On the Witness Stand, Serious Questions for the Watchtower Cult. And we're asking the serious questions about the deity of Jesus Christ right now, the fact that Jesus is God. This is the heart of the book and the heart of the accusation, if I may use that word, against the Jehovah's Witnesses, who are not Jehovah's Witnesses at all, though they wear that title. My question regarding the deity of Jesus is in John 14:28, and I'm asking a witness to take the witness stand and answer these questions. It says in John 14:28, "My Father is greater than I." That's Jesus speaking, saying, "My Father is greater than I am." Question, is there a difference in greatness between the Father and the Son? The Jehovah Witness answer, "You said it. You just read it from John's Gospel." Question, perhaps you didn't hear my question. I said, is there a difference in greatness between the Father and the Son? Jehovah Witness, but we both know the Lord never changes. What he was then, he is now. And he, Jehovah, was greater than the Son, by the Son's own admission. Question, I'll go you one better. At the time of which we are speaking, known historically, theologically as the Incarnation, even the angels were greater than Jesus. Sir, do you believe that the angels are greater than Jesus today? Jehovah Witness. Actually, we believe that Jesus was the first created angel, but definitely the greatest. Question. We'll discuss the Michael teaching another time. Let's concentrate on the greater teaching for the moment. You're saying that Jesus is the greatest of all the angels, and therefore greater than all the other angels. But Hebrews 2:7 specifically states that Jesus was placed a little lower than the angels for a certain period of time, the time he was here. And this is the same time of which we're speaking in John 14:28. Philippians 2:7 in the New World Translation puts it like this. He emptied himself and took a slave's form. Is God a slave? Is God all-powerful? Yes. But when the Son came to earth, he became one of us. He became a slave. He humbled himself to the point of death. He listened for the Father's voice in every aspect of his life. He chose not to do anything that the Father was not saying to do. That is, he acted and lived as he calls all of his people to live. And we are not God. But although he was God, in those miraculous days of the Incarnation, he behaved like the lowest of men. That's why he could say what seemed to those around him to be an obvious truth, and my Father is greater than I. Then God exalted him, according to Philippians 2. Look at him after his resurrection. Look at him at the top of Transfiguration Hill. Look at him as he ascends body, soul, spirit into the heavens, where he reassumes the glory he had with the Father before there was a world, John 17:5. At one time, by divine plan, the Father was greater than the Son. But in eternity and throughout eternity, the honor due to the Father is also due to the Son. Jesus said that too. Insult to the Son of God is made at one's own peril, sir, and you may step down. Now you, sir, you come to the stand. Let me give you a Bible verse, John 17:3. Jesus speaking, "To know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ." My question, so following the heavenly blast of revelation knowledge from Jesus to his disciples in those three preceding chapters, John 14, John 15, John 16. We're now led to believe by Jehovah's Witnesses, quote unquote, that this statement of Jesus in his prayer is meant to exclude Jesus from being God, to know you, Father, and Jesus, Jehovah's Witness. It is what it is. Jesus was a mighty one for sure, but he acknowledges here that his Father is the only one worthy of our worship as the God of heaven. Questioner. Interesting. I notice that you say mighty one, but in fact your teaching is that Jesus is a mighty God. Is that not true? Jehovah Witness. Yes, indeed. Questioner. But Jesus says here that the Father is the only true God. The greatness of his power aside for the moment, if Jesus is a God of sorts, how can he rightfully say that his Father is the only true God? Jehovah Witness. Well, we have to go to other passages to find the claims of which you speak. Questioner. Before you go there, turn with me to Jude, verse 4. I see that you have made yet another strange translation there in the New World Translation, calling Jesus our owner. Regardless, you have allowed that the word Lord should stay there intact. The verse claims that Jesus is our only Lord. Do you believe that such a statement excludes the Father? Jehovah Witness. No, Jehovah is our Lord. Yes, exactly. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, right? That one Lord, is it Jehovah? Is it Jesus? Answer, yes. That's the mystery and beauty of our faith. To speak of one is to speak of the other. The one true God and the one true Lord. The only God and the only Lord, bound up in what the Scripture calls the Godhead, is simply God. You may step down. Sir, you, please, come to the stand. I give you John 17:5. Glorify me, Father, Jesus says, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am Jehovah, that's my name, I will not give my glory to another. Jesus says that we had glory together, but God says, I don't give my glory to anyone else. Question, sir, would Jehovah ever give his glory to someone else? I mean, who could handle it? Jehovah Witness. Well, of course, we all receive some measure of the glory of God, and we receive more one day, I'm sure you agree. Question, then I wonder what Isaiah meant. Jehovah Witness, it's quite possible he's speaking of his name, which is emphasized in this passage. His name includes all his glory. Question, no, that won't work. The same passage that talks about that glory we will receive, as you mentioned, also says that Jesus made known his name to his disciples. And we're both skirting around an obvious fact, I believe. The obvious fact must be that Jehovah and Jesus are one. As he said, I and my Father are one. For Jesus to have the glory of God on him before the world was no great feat, since they shared that glory for all eternity. Jesus alone can handle such glory because it's his. As to how we will ever share this glory must be approached along the same lines. If the Holy Spirit is upon us now, making us one with Christ, then the greater revelation of who he is will also be easily passed on. In that sense, the sense of our unity with him in the Spirit, he's not giving his glory to another, but just to himself. It's We are his extended self in that sense because of the Spirit in us, not because of us. You may step down. John 20:28, sir, as you get sworn in, but you don't take those oaths, do you? How about John 20:28, my Lord and my God, spoken by Thomas, my Lord and my God. Question, what do you think Thomas meant when he called Jesus Lord and God? Jehovah Witness, I don't think he meant anything. He was excited to see what appeared to be the Jesus that he knew for 3 years and he thought was dead. Question, we're going to let your appeared to be assessment go by. We've addressed it elsewhere. But if Thomas meant nothing by this statement, and it was pure emotional response, why do you think that Jesus acknowledged immediately that Thomas now truly believed? Believed what? Why, he believed that Jesus was who he said he was, the very Son of God. Not only that, that he, Jesus, was Thomas's God and Lord. The one he had been learning about from a child, that God. There was no doubt in his mind now, and Jesus affirmed his faith when he could have denied it or explained it away, as witnesses and others desperately attempt to do. Their interlinear, the book that has, you know, the one language here and then the Greek here, the English here, the interlinear, it's a juxtaposition of English and Greek text. They put it out in 1985, the witnesses did, and it actually reads, the God, right here. They couldn't get away from it. It's a fascinating admission by the Watchtower Society when it says, the God. About Acts 20:28, as we exchange witnesses again. Got a line up here. I want to ask every one of you a question about the Word of God. Get up here, sir, please. Take the stand and answer my question. And be honest, the New World Translation says that the congregation of God, which he purchased with the blood of his own son. But the New American Standard Bible and others all say that the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Let me do that one again. New World Translation, the congregation of God. Not worried about the word congregation here. Which he purchased with the blood of his own son, as opposed to he purchased with his own blood. Question, did God ever shed his own blood? Jehovah's Witness, that's a preposterous idea. You yourself know that God is a spirit. Spirits don't have blood. Question, then I wonder why all the translations of the Bible, except yours, of course, say that God bought the church. God bought the church with his own blood. Jehovah's Witness, this is one of the lingering problems of the translations that have come down to us and been corrupted. Question, oh, you're sure it's the translation's problem and not the source? Jehovah's Witness, well, that would have to be the case. We use the sources for the most part that you do. Question, are you sure that you didn't add some words to the text to make it more reasonable? You've already stated that the text as it stands is preposterous. God shedding blood. Jehovah's Witness, we would not add words, but we might make verses more understandable so that the common people could benefit. Question, I think the common people have been, on the contrary, confused by your, quote, explanations. The common people have always believed in the deity of Jesus Christ. And so, to them, if Jesus is God, then indeed it was God who shed his blood. It's not hard to accept the text as written and as found in the sources. The witnesses, and that's a strange name, by the way, again, I have to say, they've added his son. to the end of the thought. They added those two words. Even though there's no extant manuscript, available manuscript, that contains the word son. It's guesswork on their part. A most devious and careless and dangerous way to translate the scriptures. God have mercy. You may step down, sir. Sir, you may step up to the stand. Please listen to this verse in Romans 9:5. In my Bible, it says, "The Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all God blessed forever." But you changed it. In your Bible, it says, "The Christ descended according to the flesh." Period. God, who is over all, be praised forever. You would not connect those two ideas into one, as the text does, and all the translations do. Question, who is over all? Jehovah Witness. Well, God, Jehovah, of course. Question, I've just read through every major and minor translation of the Bible. Not one of these scholarly, prayerful men believed that Christ is separated from the overall in this passage. Not one. In fact, many of them simply go ahead and finish the entire meaning saying that Christ or Messiah is the God blessed forever. Now that fits, but we won't force that. Jehovah Witness, we force nothing either. It's just important to be consistent in the various scriptures about Jesus to say the same thing all the time. It's textually proven that Jesus is not the same as God. Question. Well, I must give you some credit for being consistent, surely. You have consistently brought in your damnable heresy of the creation of Christ by the Father whenever it was conceivably possible. You added it. The Greek seems to bear out that not only is Christ the one over all here, but that he is the God to be praised. The translated Greek words run like this, and this is not pretty sounding, but these are the actual words. Christ, according to the flesh, the one being over all God praised. Without punctuation, one could go either way. That is, could be simply adding a praise God for the fact that Jesus is over all. Or he could really be saying that the one who is over all is God, the praiseworthy one. Either way, he is unquestionably over all, making the New World Translation text once more a despicable attempt to bring Christ to the angelic level rather than the divine level where he belongs. Recall Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. All authority has been given to me, Jesus said, in heaven and earth. Now one side may shout, yeah, but it was given. The other will shout, but it was given. Either way, he has it. He's co-equal with the Father in substance, though not always in function. He is God. We'll let that one go right there. My goodness. My goodness. How could they do these things? Some of this may be very difficult for you as you hear it. You may want to listen to the audio again or get the book. Yeah, you can go to the store, not your store, but my store, right here on the website. Just click on the word store, and this book is available for you. I hope you will get it, study it, go over it and over it. I put this in blog form as we're going along. I was not allowed to put the whole PDF of the book, you know, in written form all at once. They don't allow that. It's too big a document. But every day you can be copying out the written form of just what I read in a day's time and study it. Please don't bypass this and say this is too difficult. We all ought to understand these things and be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks us a reason for the hope that is in us. And that reason is Jesus and the truth about Jesus, that he is God. If you don't believe he's God, you don't have much hope in you. Your faith is in a man, a human sacrifice, actually not even totally human. He's angelic. He's, oh, please, please study your word. And thank you for studying this with me. Let's keep doing this together every day. I'm going to put on an audio next, right after I get done with this today, in just a few minutes, that will explain the break that I'll be taking and lead you to some of the other things that you can be doing while I'm on break. And I do hope that you will stay with the site during those days. I don't know how long it will be when I have to be away, but that you will stay with me anyway. God bless you today. So good to have you. Check in from time to time to see what's going on here at the Hackberry House of Chosen website, sermonaudio.com. Lord willing, we will talk pretty soon. Bye-bye.